Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tuto Jayam Udirayat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 18, Chapter entitled Description of Varnashram Dharma, Text Number 26. Naitad Vastutaya Pashyed Drishyamanam Vinashyati Asaktachito Viramed Iha Mutra Chikirshita Naitad Vastu Taya Pashyed Drishyamanam Vinashyati Asakta Chito Viramed Iha Mutra Chikirshita Naitad Vastu Taya Pashyed Drishyamanam Vinashyati Asakta Chito Viramed Iha Mutra Chikirshitat
Iha Mutra Chikirshitat
Na
Never
Etat
This
Vastutaya
Vastutaya
As ultimate reality. Pashyet. One should see. Drishyamanam. Being observed by direct experience. Vinashyati. Is destroyed. Asakta.
Without attachment.
Chittaha. Whose consciousness? And Viramet. One should be detached. Iha. In this world. Amutra. And in one's future life. Chikirashita. From activities performed for material advancement. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. One should never see as ultimate reality those material things which obviously will perish. With consciousness free from material attachment, one should retire from all activities meant for material progress in this life and the next. Translation responsibly. One should never see as ultimate reality.
One should never see as ultimate reality.
Those material things which obviously will perish.
Those material things which obviously will perish.
With consciousness free from material attachment.
With consciousness free from material attachment.
One should retire from all activities.
One should retire from all activities.
Meant for material progress.
Meant for material progress.
In this life and the next.
In this life and the next.
Purport. One may doubt how a gentleman can retire from family life and live as a beggar, eating meager foodstuffs. The Lord here responds by stating that sumptuous or palatable foods, along with all other material objects, such as the body itself, should never be seen as ultimate reality, since they are obviously perishable items. One should retire from material programs destined to enhance the quality of one's illusion, both in this life and the next. Omigyan Timurandasya Genanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayamrupa Kadamaya Dadati Swava Dantikam. Vancha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanando Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this chapter, part of the Uddhava Gita. Uddhava Gita, as we have explained in previous weeks and months, Uddhava Gita is the final conversation which took place between Krishna and Uddhava when Krishna was about to leave this world. It describes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is said to be the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedic literatures. When you study the Vedas, then when you take the sara, or the essence of the entire Vedic literature, that is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam means it is described to be like the ripened fruit of the Vedas. Just like when the mango tree produces its fruit and the fruit fully ripens, becomes most sweet and most succulent, then that is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Or it is compared to be the cream of the Vedic literature, meaning that when the milk is churned, the cream will rise to the top, and the cream is the most delicious part of the milk. So therefore, that is the thickness, that is the sara, that is the essence. So that is extracted, that is considered to be the best of all. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of the Vedas. Now, after the Srimad Bhagavatam was heard by Parikshit Maharaj in 7 days from Shukadev Goswami, he then approached his mother. And his mother's name was Uttara. And Uttara said, "What was it that you just heard?" Because there were no women in the assembly. It was only the sages, Narada, Vyasa, the great Munis, Shukadev, Parikshit, like that. There was no females in attendance at that time. So then she approached him and she said, "What is it that you heard from Shukadev in those 7 days?" He didn't have time to repeat the entire Bhagavatam. So then he spoke to her the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Now the Brihad Bhagavatamrita appeared again in this world through the agency of Srila Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami, because these personalities are not ordinary personalities like us. They are not Nityavada living entities. We are Nityavada. We are bound by the material energy, and we must become released from the material energy. But there are souls, and it's described in the Shastra, who enter this world who are called Nitya Siddha living entities. In other words, they are coming directly from Goloka Vrindavan, from Vaikuntha, on behalf of the Lord. And they enter into this material world to reveal the spiritual world once again to the conditioned living entities. That's why Krishna appears within the material world. Right? Krishna says, 4th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chadushkritam dhamma samstapanataya. He says 3 reasons why he comes. But Srila Prabhupada explains the main reason why he comes is to reveal himself to his devotees who are feeling separation from him. Because the devotees, in order to become liberated from the material world, there is only one methodology. There is only one system, which is effective. This is described in the discussion between Srila Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Mahaprabhu, he says, what is the essence of the Vedas? What is it that will extract the living entity from the material energy? And Ramananda Roy gives many explanations of how we can, or he offers many answers to how we can become extracted from the material energy. But until he comes to the point of glorifying the process of hearing and chanting in the association of Vaishnavas, then at that point Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts this is the way to become extracted from the material energy. One must hear from devotees in the association of devotees. This is the methodology for extracting oneself from the material energy. So, at that time, then Srila Sanatana Goswami, he entered into this world as a Nityasiddha devotee, and he revealed from the eternal platform this Shastra, which is called Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which was not there previously. As Krishna explains in the beginning of the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he says to Arjuna that this science was previously lost. Sometimes these teachings are prakat, sometimes they are uppercut. They are always existing. The Srimad Bhagavatam is always existing. It is eternal. Shastra. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. It is nitya. It is an eternal Shastra. But sometimes these things become lost in the material world. So therefore, a great sage or a great personality, he has to come and re-reveal these things. So similarly, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it had been lost for a period of time. But then Sanatana Goswami wrote it again. And it describes in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In other words, in the first section describes Narad Muni searching for the topmost devotee in existence. Because in one sense, this is what the Srimad Bhagavatam does. It explains to us the gradual gradation or the gradual elevation of consciousness of the jiva to the topmost expression of love of Godhead, which is found in the resonance of Vrindavan in the Ashraya or the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, we hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that Narad Muni was traveling throughout the universe looking for who is the greatest devotee. And he travels, first of all, he meets one Brahmana. And that Brahmana says, actually, there is a king in northern India who is more elevated than me. So then the Brahmana travels to the king. The king says, I'm not so elevated as a devotee. If you want to find the best devotee, you go to Indra. He has so much material opulence, but still, he is a great devotee. So he goes to Indra. Indra then sends him to Brahma. Brahma then sends Narada to Shiva. Shiva then sends him to, from memory, Prahlad. Prahlad then sends him to the I'm trying to remember the order. Sends him to Hanuman. Hanuman sends him to the Pandavas. The Pandavas, they say, yes, we are very dear devotees of Krishna. We are very intimate with Krishna, except we do not live with him continuously. If you want to find the devotees who continuously associate with Krishna, then please go to Dwarka, his family members. So Narada travels to Dwarka. Now, amongst the Yadus in Dwarka, it is communicated to him that the best devotee is Uddhava. So then he says, now you go and visit Uddhava. So he goes to visit Uddhava. And Narada says to Uddhava, he says, I'm looking for the greatest devotee. I've been told you are Krishna's greatest devotee. And Uddhava says to him, he said, yes, I thought I was the greatest devotee. Not in an egotistical way, not like I am the greatest devotee. But he was thinking, I cannot imagine that anyone could love Krishna more than I did. I could not imagine. No one was attached to Krishna as much as I was attached to Krishna. Now, Uddhava would not eat anything unless it was Krishna's remnants. Right? He only wore the remnants of Krishna's clothes. So he always wore the same clothes that Krishna had worn previously. He only wore garlands which had been worn by Krishna. He was so much in love for Krishna, that his complexion turned the same color as Krishna's. Right? Out of love and attachment to Krishna, he also turned Shyama Sundara, Shyam. He also had that same color. So that's how intimate he was with Krishna. He was the most intimate devotee. But he said, at one point in time, Krishna sent me to Vrindavan to send a message to the Brijbasis who were feeling separation from me for so many years. And when I went to Vrindavan, he said, I realized that I had no attachment to Krishna. Compared to the Brijbasis, I had no attachment. And then he said, amongst the Brijbasis, the gopis I saw had the most attachment to Krishna. And amongst the gopis, then, Srimati Radhika had the most attachment to Krishna. She is the personification of Mahabhav, or the highest sentiment of love of Godhead. This is the essence of the Vedic literatures. This is the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is Radharani's love for Krishna, which is the highest expression of prema. Uddhava, he had all of these realizations. He had this understanding. He understood the perfect Siddhanta. He understood the essence of the Vedic literatures. Now, just before Krishna left this world, Krishna was in Dwarka, then Krishna, Dwarka became inauspicious. Great pieces of the columns in Dwarka and great pieces of the palaces, the eternal structure of the Lord's holy dharma, they began to fall to the ground. There were inauspicious omens taking place. And the devotees understood this is very strange. These things never happen in Dwarka. So Uddhava at that time, because he was extremely intelligent, he was said to be a disciple of Brihaspati. He was Krishna's minister. Krishna would ask him for advice. Krishna would say, Uddhava, what do you think we should do? Not that Krishna doesn't know what to do. It's not that Krishna forgets, what should I do? But sometimes he will ask his devotee in love, as an exchange. He says, what should I do? So he asked, he would ask Uddhava, what should I do? So Uddhava was extremely intelligent. So then Uddhava, he approached Krishna and he said that it appears that you are about to finish your Bhauma Leela, your worldly pastimes. It appears now that everything is finished. If these inauspicious omens are taking place, it means you are about to leave this world. Krishna said, actually it is true. So Uddhava said to Krishna that I want to leave before you leave. Because I cannot bear the separation of you. I cannot live in this world separate from you. And Krishna said, no. He said that you must stay. I have a service for you to do. The principle is that to serve Krishna, to serve the Guru, that is the higher principle than being simply attached to having their physical association. That is the highest principle. And that's what Srila Prabhupada taught us, that Vani is more important than Vapu. More important than directly associating with the Guru, directly associating with Krishna, is to serve the Guru, the instruction of the Guru, to serve the instruction of Krishna. This will bring you closer than just trying to have physical proximity. So, Uddhava, he was ordered by Krishna, no, you must stay in this world. So just before Krishna left, just before the Yadavas went to Prabhas Chetra, which is described at the end of the Bhagavatam, then Krishna spoke the Uddhava Gita to Uddhava. And that is what we have here in Canto 11 of the Bhagavatam. This is Uddhava Gita. These are the final instructions of Krishna to Uddhava just before he left this world. Of course, there were another group of instructions which came. That is the in the third canto to Maitreya, like that. But that's another story. So now Krishna is giving his final instructions to Uddhava. Now Krishna is giving his instructions on Varnashrama. Vana and Ashrama. Because when the living entity comes into this material world, he develops material desire and attachment. That is our position in the material world. We are attached to this world. We're attached to so many things. We're attached to our watch. We're attached to our Birkenstocks. We're attached to our Samsonite suitcase. We're attached to our so many things, to our car, to our house. We're attached to so many little things in this world. But none of these things have anything to do with us. There's simply some paraphernalia which we've collected in this lifetime and which we won't have again in the next lifetime. Just like you think, go back 100 years ago. Where were you 100 years ago? You're in a different body. Right? And you had attachments in that body. Right? So you go back 100 years and think about all those things that you were attached to 100 years ago when you're in that other body. When you took birth as a housewife in Ireland with 9 children and your husband owned a potato farm. Right? Now you think of all those things you were attached to. Think about it. What were you attached to then? Right? Right? You were so attached to your little bits of paraphernalia. Remember that pot on the stove? Which used to be your favourite pot for cooking your potato stew? You remember how attached you were to that? Remember what happened when one of the kids took it and you couldn't find it? Remember the level of attachment? Right? Remember how attached you were to that clock that used to be on your wall that your grandmother gave to you? Which was a family heirloom? Remember how attached you were to that? Remember how attached you were to your favourite dress, which you used to wear to church on Sundays? Do you remember that dress? You remember it? Remember the one that was the blue dress with the yellow flowers on it? Do you remember how attached you were to that?
Can't remember anything.
Huh?
Can't remember anything.
You can't remember everything, right? Because you are in Maya. You cannot remember. You can't remember. But 100 years ago, that was our whole life. That was everything to us. We were so attached to all of those, that paraphernalia. Right? Remember it? We can't remember any of it. We can't remember, but we were so attached to it. And now we come into this lifetime, different lifetime, and now we think, oh no, that was just a dream. This is reality. Right? Now I'm so attached to these things, but these things are real. That was just a dream. But when you were in that dream, you thought all of that was real. Now you're in a different dream, but now you think all that is real. Oh, this is real. This is the nature of the material energy. This is what binds the living entity in this material world. Raga, dvesha, attachment, and aversion. This is what the material world is. We are simply attached to this material world since we came here. Why? Because the nature of the jiva, the nature of the soul, is to be attached. It is natural. It is not unnatural to be attached. The defect is, at this point in time, is we are attached to the wrong things. That is the defect. We are attached to things which are asat, which means they are temporary. Whereas, the nature of the soul is to be attached to that which is eternal. We are meant to be attached to that which is sat, chit, ananda, and vigraha. And vigraha means form. We are attached to form. You cannot be unattached to form. All of us are attached to form. But previously we were attached to form which was eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Now we are attached to that which is called asat, which is achit, and which is near ananda. Those things which are temporary, full of lifelessness, and which are full of misery. But we've become so attached to these things. So it is attachment which will keep you in this material world, and it is attachment which will take you out of this material world. You must become attached to Krishna. Right? This is what Krishna speaks about in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Param drishtva nibhatate. You must become attached to something superior. You cannot be detached. It is not possible for the living entity to be detached. It is artificial. You must be attached, but you must change your attachment to this material energy and reinstate your attachment to the spiritual energy, to Krishna. I was listening to some lectures by my guru, Maharaj, in the last few weeks, and he was explaining, one devotee was discussing, I think it was, or maybe he was just explaining. He said, why do devotees leave the Krishna consciousness movement? Oh, that's right. He was at a it was either Prabhupada's disappearance day or it was Radhashtami. It was around that time. So he went to, he was living in England at the time, and he went to Soho Street or Bhaktivedanta Manor. He was at one of those places. And he was commenting, because he was a devotee from 1968, so he's one of the senior devotees in the Hare Krishna movement, and he was living in England. And then he asked one of the devotees who was there, and he said, how many devotees were initiated by Prabhupada in Britain, in England? And I think the devotee said around 450, like that. So then Tamal Krishnamara, but he looked around and he said, there's only 10 of us here. Where is everyone? It's Prabhupada's, or it was either Radhashtami or Prabhupada's disappearance. Where is everyone? Everyone should be here. Where is everyone? Like that. So then he was discussing, why is it that devotees are not still around? And he gave two reasons. One is because devotees quite often are not properly situated according to Varna and Ashrama. Because I remember something that changed my life many years ago, 1996. I was listening to a lecture by my guru, and he said, you cannot get out of the material world until you realize that you are in the material world. You won't get out until you realize you're in it. If you don't realize you're attached to matter, you won't become released from it. You have to understand your adhikar, your position, in order to become released or detached from the material energy. So therefore, in order to become released or detached, you have to be correctly situated within this material energy according to Varna and Ashrama. According to your psychophysical makeup, your conditioning, your attachments, you have to be properly situated. So many devotees do not continue progressively in Krishna consciousness because they do not get, they are not properly situated according to their material qualification. And not being properly situated, they lose their enthusiasm in the process. So it's very important. The second reason he gave why devotees leave the Krishna consciousness movement, he said because they fail to become attached to Krishna himself. Because what is the whole purpose of this Hare Krishna movement? Why do we wear dresses? Why do we shave our heads? Why do we wear clay on our face? Why do we walk around with a ponytail? Why do we do all these things? Why do we completely change our position in the material world? There is one reason. Prema Pumata Mahan. To develop love for Krishna. That is the whole point of this Krishna consciousness movement. This is the process of advancement in Krishna consciousness, as described by our lineage, by Rupa Goswami. We are considered to be followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We are coming from a tradition which is from northern India, which deals with Krishna worship. And this particular mode of worship was made extremely popular by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Yuga Avatar, the incarnation of Krishna in the age of Kali. And his principal follower, one of his principal followers, was Srila Rupa Goswami. And the entire in our particular line, coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because there are different lines coming from Lord Chaitanya, in our particular lineage, coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are considered to be Rupa Nugas, meaning that our approach to Krishna is based upon the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami. which Prabhupada gave to us in the form of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, his summary study of the Bhakti Rasamrita. Prabhupada said this is the law book for ISKCON, the Nectar of Devotion. So, in order to develop our love for Krishna, our process is based on a gradual elevation of our consciousness through 9 levels, beginning with Shraddha, faith, to Sadhu Sangha, associating with devotees, to Bhajana Kriya, to being engaged in devotional service, to Anatta Nivritti, removing your material attachments, to Nishtha, which means becoming steady and fixed in devotional service, to Ruchi, which means developing taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, to Asakti, which means becoming attached to Krishna, to Bhava, which means developing your eternal emotions towards Krishna, to Prema. Prema is the goal. Right? To develop love for Krishna, to love Krishna in your original relationship with Him. So this is the entire point of the Krishna consciousness movement, is to develop love for Krishna. If we fail to do so, if we're not becoming more and more attached to Krishna, right, there's a very good possibility, as my Guru Maharaj pointed out, that you will not be a devotee for a long time. In the beginning, you can become attached to the process of Krishna consciousness. Oh, I like the kirtan. The kirtan is very enthusiastic. I like the kirtan. I like the fired up kirtans. You know, all the boys getting the kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. So you're attached to the process. You know, you may or may not be attached to Krishna and Krishna's holy name, but you like it, right? And then what do you go up and have for breakfast? Right? Halava, pakora, puri, curd sabji, a little bit of khichdi, some salad. Right? Salad. Right? Rasgulla. Right? I know devotees, and for the first 6 months that they became a devotee, they did not eat anything except maha prasadam. First 6 months. They never even walked out of the walls of this temple. Right? Never even left this temple for 6 months. First 6 months, only eating Mahaprasadam. Like that. So that's the process. That's the process. You're attached to prasadam. You might be attached to the kirtan. Right? You like being fired up. Right? I am fired up. I'm a Hare Krishna. I'm a Brahmachari. I'm a Brahmacharini. I'm fired up. I'm really, really fired up. Watch out today, because I'm really fired up. Right? Right? I know 100 slokas from the Bhagavad Gita. I know how to say Hari Bol in exactly all the right places. Right? Right? I'm attached to the Mahaprasada. I'm attached to the Kirtan. Right? And my Guru Maharaj... I see nothing else but my Guru Maharaj. Right? I stand on all the other devotees to get to my Guru Maharaj. So you're attached to the process. Right? But this will sustain you only for a certain amount of time in Krishna consciousness. Eventually, you have to become attached to Krishna, the cowherd boy, right, who is holding a flute, right, who has a peacock feather in his turban, right? Who wears the kostuba, mani, the jewel, right? Who has Padma Locha, who has lotus eyes, whose cheeks are little reddish, whose eyes are little pinkish, whose lips are like bimba fruit. Bimba fruit is like a blackish reddish colour, right? Whose teeth are like a string of pearls, right? Whose breath smells like camphor, whose neck has 3 lines on it like a conch shell, whose ears are very full and very round, like that, whose eyebrows constantly dance, like the bow of Cupid, whose forehead is very broad and full, whose nose is like a sesame flower, whose hair is different lengths according to his age. When he is Kaishora, when he is 15, his hair goes down to his right down to his thighs, goes all the way down his back. And his hair has a reddish tinge to it, black but with like a reddish tinge. It says to be like the feathers of a raven. Like that. This is Krishna. You have to become attached to him. You can't just be attached just to the process, because you may or may not stay attached to the process your whole life. Eventually, your motivation for staying in this Hare Krishna movement is that you must become attached to Krishna himself. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's guru, who was very careful that people do not become sahajiya. Sahajiya means artificially sentimental about Krishna. Oh, Krishna, Krishna, right? False tears on the eyes and rolling on the ground, and emotions which may or may not factually be there, right? Instead of making it all artificial, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very careful that we do not become prematurely artificial or prematurely emotional in our attachment to Krishna. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself says, when a devotee has been a devotee for 15 or 20 years, he was talking about his disciples, he said, naturally, they must take interest about hearing Krishna's pastimes. If you've been practicing sadhana for a long time, 15, 20, you have to become attached to Krishna's pastimes. Otherwise, it'll be difficult for you to maintain your enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. Right? Because you want to be fired up, right? But, I'm 40 now. Right? You can only be fired up for so long, because your mind and body doesn't stay fired up forever. Right? It's okay when you're in your 20s and your early 30s, you're fired up, but you don't feel like that when you get to a certain age. Your psychophysical makeup changes. Right? So it can't be just all external. Oh, I'm fired up and I'm like, right? It doesn't work. It has to become very deep. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says there are 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. One of them is Gambhira. Gambhira means the devotee is very deep. He has very deep attachment to Guru and Krishna. It is not simply an artificial or sentimental thing. Your Krishna consciousness cannot remain external forever. Eventually it has to become very deeply placed. It has to be coming from the soul. It can't just be coming from the modes of material nature. It means that when a devotee gets older, he is enthusiastic to serve Krishna. His enthusiasm to serve Krishna, right, increases every day, every year. Devotees become more and more enthusiastic about the process of Krishna consciousness. They may not be fired up, but they're enthusiastic, and there is a difference. So, in order to maintain Krishna consciousness over a long period of time, we have to become deeper. Now it says here that Krishna is describing to Uddhava, he is describing Van Ashram. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that Van Ashram is like a safety net. Just like if you're walking on a tightrope, you've seen in the circus, you've seen the tightrope walkers, the men or the ladies, they get up there on a rope very high and they walk across like that. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Van Ashram is like a safety net in case you fall. Because sometimes we fall off the rope. We're trying, our principal method to go back to the spiritual world is Hari Nama and Kirtanam, is to hear and chant about Krishna. But Krishna understands we're conditioned. So therefore you may need some material facility to keep your mind peaceful so you can practice your Krishna consciousness, which is what my Guru Maharaj was pointing out. You have to become attached to Krishna, but The other reason why people leave is because they're not properly situated. So therefore, a devotee has to be properly situated. If you're attached to matter, then you have to situate yourself accordingly so that you can be peaceful, so then you can then progress in your Krishna consciousness. So therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his writings, he says that in Kali Yuga, Grihastha Ashram is a very good position for a Vaishnava. Because as Srila Prabhupada explains, there is the safe road and there is the sure road. The sure road is the path of renunciation. It means from brahmachari to sannyas. That is sure. Right? If you are actually qualified, if you actually have that adhikar to perform, to follow that path, it is sure you will go back to Godhead in our tradition, in our line. But then there is the safe path. The safe path is you go from brahmachari, brahmacharini, grihastha, right? And then you will progress in your renunciation gradually. That is the Varnashram system. Actually, it's described by Prabhupada, by Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Varnashram is very secondary in Kali Yuga because it's already mixed up anyway. Now, where do we see real Brahmanas? Right? Where do you see real Kshatriyas? You know, do you ever see a picture of Kevin Rudd, you know, holding a sword and a turban, you know, and some armour, standing there, protecting Australia, you know, when the Indonesians come down, you know, and he's standing up there. What's that place up there, port, as you fly over when you go to India? Up near Broome, you know, standing out there with Broome with his sword, you know, I will protect Australia. No, in Kali Yuga we don't really see Varnashram. You definitely don't really see Varna. There's something is there, like it's some semblance, but it's not what it was. But Ashrama is something is there in Kali Yuga. Now that's why Prabhupada created Brahmachari and Brahmacharini Ashram. Grihastha, Ashram. Vanaprastha, Ashram. Sannyas, Ashram. The whole purpose of the Varnashram system is to become detached from the material energy. It is not to increase your attachment. The purpose of Grihastha Ashram is not to become more attached to the material energy. The purpose of Grihastha Ashram, if you're following it properly, is to become detached from the material energy. Lessen your attachments. Right? And then, in the later part of life, when you reach the age of 50 and beyond, then you will become qualified for renunciation. Then you'll become qualified for Vanaprastha and or sannyas. This is the system. Right? We move through the ashram and then gradually become more detached. And when you come to the final point of your life, which will be coming very shortly for all of us, right? It's not long until we're going to die, right? Then at the end of your life, then you have to be sannyas. Sannyas means sannyas in consciousness. Right? It doesn't mean that you'll be holding a danda necessarily. You may or may not be. But you must be detached from this world. Your body, your mind, and your words must be attached to Krishna at the time of death. If you're not attached to Krishna at the time of death, then it's very dangerous. But Krishna says, if you are attached to me at the time of death, you will return to me without fail. This is our process. So all of us must develop our Krishna consciousness in that way. It is a gradual detachment from the material energy. It takes time to overcome our material desires and attachments. It doesn't happen artificially or automatically. It happens by very diligent practice of sadhana. And then over due course of time, then we become detached from this material world. But detachment is not our goal. Detachment is simply something which supports our bhakti. Right. Our actual goal of our life, regardless of your varna and ashram, is to become attached to Krishna. That is your goal. You must become attached to Krishna at the time of death. You must be attached to Krishna. You must have Krishna asakti, which means you must be deeply attached to Krishna. Right. And everything else that we do in our life simply leads us and assists us in attaining that goal. That is the purpose of varna ashram. Okay. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments. what we discussed. It means that Vana means, according to your psychophysical makeup, then you have to work in a particular way. Just like everyone has things they like doing. Like some people like working on computers. And they spend all day on computers. I can't understand why someone would do that. But they do that. So that is their Vana. Vana means what you'd like to do. Some people like to wash the pots. Some people like to give lectures. Some people like to grow vegetables in the field. Some people like to organize the society. So loosely, as we said, in Kali Yuga you don't have Vana as it was previously. But basically we see how some devotees like to teach. This is like Brahmana. Some devotees like to organize it. This is basically like Kshatriya. Some people like to work on the land. This is something like Vaishya, right? And some people, they just like to do some assistance, menial service, then that is something like Shudra. Like, so this is basically the Vana system. The Ashram system is more there in Kali Yuga. Prabhupada has created like that. In the beginning, then you must have some training. This is called Brahmachari or Brahmacharini Ashram. Then, if you have material desire, which needs to be fulfilled, then you enter into Grihastha Ashram. You live as a Grihastha with the wife, and you have children. Like that. And then, gradually, you move through that, you become more detached. Around the age of 50 and beyond, then the husband and wife become more focused and serious about Krishna consciousness. This is called Vanaprastha Ashrama. And then, at the end of life, somewhere there, after 50, then the man may take sannyas. Sannyas means he becomes fully dedicated to Krishna. And the woman, then she will go to a holy place like Mayapur or Vrindavan, and she will also become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So that's something. Is that what you want?
We were not unaware of all these things before we took the decision, and now we are learning the things, okay, we should have done this, so it's already done for the soul. How do we execute it now properly? How do we take over this particular instructions now in your Krishna consciousness?
Yeah. Kali Yuga ki? The Kali Yuga is very mixed up. Don't expect anything in Kali Yuga to be as it was 5,000 years ago, because nothing will be like it should be in Kali Yuga. So my spiritual master, he commented one time that for many of us, we don't have the opportunity to go through Brahmachari, Brahmacharini Ashram. Like, I joined when I was 19, and then I had 8 years as a Brahmachari. So I was fortunate, at least I had that training. But actually, you're supposed to begin when you're 5 years old. So many of us come, and then we come and we're already married by the time we begin Krishna consciousness, so we don't have an opportunity. So then you have to take very seriously the opportunity you have now to get an education, because you can't be a Brahmachari, Brahmacharini. You're already married. You can't say to your wife, oh, just give me 2 years and I'll be back. Yeah, and then she comes around and gives you chapatis in the Brahmachari ashram every night. Like, it doesn't work. Right? But you need training, that's the point. So therefore, Jayapataka Swami has developed, you know, models in ISKCON like Bhakti Vriksha models, where Grihasthas, who did not have that previous training, they get some training. You require training, both in Shastra, right, and in Sadachar, which means Vaishnava behavior. So you need to learn that. So you will get that. ISKCON provides that. But the ideal Varnashram system, it does not exist anymore. Normally we're supposed to have already gone through all those things. Now we have to come to ISKCON now, and now we have to learn so many things. It is said, it is not how you begin the race, it is how you finish the race. So basically we have to make a best use of a bad bargain. Right? We don't have adhika, we don't have qualification, we don't have training, we don't have culture, we don't have etiquette. We don't know, we don't have spiritual knowledge. Suddenly we just become Hare Krishna devotees. Right? So it's not a good beginning. Right? But by Prabhupada's mercy, this process is so potent, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. This Sankirtan movement, this Hare Krishna movement is so powerful. That it doesn't matter where you begin from. You can finish, right, being a fully attached devotee of Krishna. So it does not matter how you begin, it matters how you finish. That's the point. Just like Madhava Maharaj always says, if life gives you lemons, then make lemonade. If you get something not so good, well, all of us got something not so good, we didn't start very well, right? But now we have an opportunity, make something good out of it. Like that. Is okay? Any other questions or comments?
How do you know if whether your like relationship or your attachment is building with Krishna? How can you, instead of the process?
Because the basic process is given by Prahlad Maharaj in the second canto of the Bhagavatam: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasham, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. It means there are 9 processes of bhakti, of which Prabhupada points out that Shravanam and Kirtanam are principal. So, how do you know if you're becoming attached to Krishna? Do you like chanting? Right? Do you like chanting? Right? I'm not asking you, I'm just saying a question. Do you like chanting? Right? So, that means you're becoming attached to Krishna, because abhinitva nama namino. There is no difference between Krishna and Krishna's name. Rupa Goswami says, when I chant the name of Krishna, he's the leader of our movement. We're Rupanuga. He says, when I chant the name of Krishna, I wish I had 1 million tongues and 1 million ears, because one tongue and 2 ears is not enough to taste all the nectar in the 2 syllables, Krishna. Right? So when you start going somewhere towards that, right, then you understand you're getting some taste, you're becoming attached to Krishna. You know? Prabhupada said, why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? Right? You see some devotees, like, how can I even get through 2 rounds? Right? Start chanting and it's like... Yeah, that's not particularly deep or inspired japa. And it's okay if you're chanting like that the first day you move into the temple, that's okay. If you're chanting like that the second day you're in the temple, that's not very good. And if you're chanting like that after 20 years, right, you really need a reality check, because it means you're really not understanding what this is all about. It all comes down to having a taste, nama ruchi, having a taste for chanting. And shravanam kirtanam. Shravanam means hearing about Krishna. Qualities of one who has ruchi or taste for Krishna, for hearing, is that he has a incredible desire to hear about Krishna. So whenever there's some shastra going on, whenever there's some class going on, he comes. He wants to hear what is going on. I want to hear about Krishna. Right? Whenever he has time, he is listening to lectures or he's reading the books. And gradually you develop a taste to hear about Krishna's pastimes. I want to hear, what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doing? I want to hear, what is Krishna doing? Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book, when Krishna goes out to tend the cows, the Mother Yashoda and the gopis, who are back churning butter and doing their... Then there's someone going out all day into the fields, into the forest of Vrindavan, and bringing back messages, what is Krishna doing now? So all day someone's going, and soon as someone comes, what is he doing now? Because I don't have Bhagavatam classes up there. Right? Because Krishna is there. Right? So they don't have to have a Bhagavatam class. They don't have to get, okay, everyone in Vrindavan, come and sit down. Okay? We're going to have a class about Krishna. Right? Krishna, he's just over there. Right? But we're just going to have a class about him now. Okay? Just wait there for a minute. We're going to have a class about you. Okay. Right. They don't do like that. Right, because he's there, so there's no necessity to have classes about him. He's there and they're automatically hearing and chanting about him automatically. So they have an eagerness or a vasudev of kata ruchi. They have a ruchi or a taste to hear about him. Like that. So we also have to develop that kind of taste. And that's how you understand if you're advancing. Prabhupada says in the 30th chapter of the Krishna book, Prabhupada says, you have to measure, are your material desires going down and is Krishna, your taste for Krishna going up? Sometimes it goes like this, you know, in our anishta, or our unsteady stage of bhakti. You know, sometimes we feel ourselves become more materially attached, sometimes less. But over time you have to feel it's becoming more and more and more to Krishna, and you feel one of your natural consequences of making advancement is you become less attached to the material energy. You just, you know, you can't see any point or sense in doing it. It doesn't make any sense. Why would you be a non-devotee? Why would you do what they do? It doesn't make any sense. So this is how to... Is that okay? Any other question or comment?
You know, in this world, sorry,
just a technical question. In India, in this chant, Rai, Sham, and early in you mentioned the Sanskrit word "sham" described by Krishna. I was wondering what that word "sham" actually means. Do you mean the color?
Yeah, it's described that Krishna's form is the color of a bluish black monsoon cloud. Just like in India, when the monsoon season comes, right, that those fresh rain clouds, the beginning rain clouds, it's like a bluish black. It describes this is the closest thing in this world to the color of Krishna. When you see Krishna, it's not exactly like that, but it's the poet's attempt in this world to explain what he looks like. It's something like that. So it's called Sham, that color.
In this world, related Diya, Mutra, Chikishta, material advancement, Chikishta, and Amutra means. So, what is your next line? Why is Krishna telling about next life? This life and next life?
Why is Krishna telling about this life and next life?
Yeah.
Because you're going to have a next life.
Yeah.
You are going to have a next life. So, Krishna is telling you, you have to begin to prepare for it. Krishna says in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is about how to die. 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is called Attaining the Supreme. The 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita teaches you how to die, right? How to attain the Supreme. Krishna says, Yam Yam Bhavi Smaram Bhavam. Whatever you remember at the time of death, that you will attain without fail. So whatever you are attached to, whatever you're thinking of at the time of death, then that's where you'll go to. So Krishna is teaching us what is best. What should we be thinking of at the time of death? Krishna says, think of me. Manmana. Think of me. Bhava mad bhakto. Right? Think of me. So you have to learn to think of Krishna. That's why you have to develop a taste for hearing about his pastimes. So at the time of death, you'll be absorbed in chanting his holy name and remembering his pastimes. Then Krishna says, you will come to me. Is that okay?
But if you're thinking of Krishna, there's no next life. If you're thinking of Krishna, there's no next life.
Yeah, it means you have to get born again. But then that means that'll be your last birth, that's all. It means you can take one more birth instead of taking repeated births.
The way that is it not a spiritual birth? Is it some other...
Prabhupada says that first you take birth in Krishna's Bhauma Leela, in Krishna's pastimes in the material world. You get trained up. Right? The gopis teach you how to make chapatis. And they teach you how to make cow putties. Right? All the things you need to know. That's actually what happens. Right? Because one time, Kamsa was sending demons to Vrindavan. And he was sending so many demons to Vrindavan, they were all getting killed. So then he thought, I better go there myself to see what's going on. So he was walking into Vrindavan, and then Purnamasi, who was Yogamaya, the old gopi of Vrindavan, she's in control of Vrindavan. So he saw Kamsa is coming and thought, oh, this guy is going to cause some problems. So she met him at the edge of Vrindavan and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to go to Vrindavan to see what's going on. What's going on with Krishna? I keep trying to send demons to kill him. It's not working. She said, you can't go like that. You can't dress like Kamsa and walk in there. You know, you have to disguise yourself. So she took him and she put him into one kund and he came out like a gopi. She said, now go in. Now no one will recognize you. He said, oh, that's very good. So he went into Vrindavan and the gopi said, who are you? And he said, I'm a new gopi. Like that. And said, oh, what can you do? Because he's a king. He's the king of Mathura. And he said, do you know how to churn yogurt? He said, no. He said, do you know how to make cow dung patties? He said, no. And he said, do you know how to make chapatis? He said, no. He said, okay, come on, we'll teach you. You're a gopi, you should know those things. So then they got him, and he was starting to make the cow dung patties like that, but he was making big mess. So the gopis came, and they started hitting him. It's like, what sort of a gopi are you? Huh? So then Kamsa, he got up and he ran out. And then he got to the edge, and then Purnamasi, she was there, and she put him back in the kund. He came back out of Kamsa, and she said, don't you ever come back to Vrindavan. Get out of here. So you need training. Right? So your next birth, you'll be born in Balma Vrindavan, you'll get trained up. Right? How to make the cow dung patties, and then. When you're qualified, then you can go back to. Okay. Any other question or comment? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.